News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, good morning.
Good morning, hi.
Minister, talk to us about this EU asylum and migration pact. Will this pact reduce the numbers of asylum seekers coming here and refugees coming here? And if so, how?
Well, firstly, I think the likely effect is that it will reduce the numbers, but that's not just part of why I think we should join. This as a whole is a major effort by the EU to manage what is a really difficult situation at the moment. So it's to manage the numbers of people that are coming to Europe, to make sure that we are aligned in our policies and the way in which we're processing and the way in which we're supporting people, but also the way in which we're asking people to leave where they don't have a right to be here. So there are a number of ways in which this will benefit us. Firstly, it will mean that we will have to have accelerated processing, and some of them will be mandatory times for particular types of people who come here. So you have people who don't have documentation, people who might have false documentation, people who may come from countries that we would deem safe, where they don't need or shouldn't be seeking refuge. You have people who may pose a risk or a threat. So there will be a series of different types of processes, similar to what we're trying to do now and in the way that we've accelerated certain types of applications now. The timeframes will be mandatory. We'll have to turn them around much quicker. And as we know, the quicker we give somebody a decision, if it's positive, the quicker they can move on with their lives and try and involve themselves and be part of our communities. If they receive a negative decision, the easier it is to remove a person from the country. The second way it'll benefit us, and this is really significant, a major amount of people who come to this country seeking protection have already either applied for or been given protection in another European country. It's called secondary movement.
Yeah.
Under this new migration pact, at the moment where we try and return people, if we identify they have come from another country, we ask the other country to take them back. There's no onus on them. And if the time runs out after 6 months, there's nothing we can do. Under this new pact, instead of a request, it will be a we will be telling the other country that we're sending them back. So it's a much easier process. And when at the moment we know between 50 to 70% of people coming here are coming from other countries, this will obviously have a huge impact on the numbers that we have here. The third then is that we will have an enhanced security system where every person coming into Europe, where there is certain information taking now, every person will have to have their picture, their fingerprints, a check around the police system. Is there any threats there? An enhanced system.
Will they have to have a passport?
What we have now.
Because I think this is what drives a lot of people
mad. Well, anybody
mad.
Who doesn't
people
have
turning
documentation
up without a passport.
Will be put into, and particularly if they cross over a border.
Oh, sorry, Minister, you still there? Hello, Minister?
I think you're not wrong, Shane. I think that one of the issues is that people are aware that when somebody arrives on a plane, that they have used a passport to get onto the plane. So the fact that they don't have a passport now is a distinct issue.
Do you know what? Is the Minister there? Hello.
Yes, sorry. Apologies.
Sorry, Minister. We just lost you there for a second. Sorry, I was asking you about people because I was making the point that people, it drives people crazy when they hear reports of huge numbers turning up without documentation.
Well, firstly, the number of people coming undocumented to this country has dropped by about 35%. And that's separate because we have been doing a huge amount of work at other ports and airports. We've been working with airline staff to train them to ensure that people are getting on with the right documentation, but also to try and spot the signs where someone might get rid of their documentation. But you're not going to stop that and prevent that from happening completely, because if somebody gets on a plane with documentation, but between getting off the plane and presenting it again, they try to get rid of it. How do you deal with that? Under this, they would go through an accelerated process. So it would be mandatory. It would be in law. They would have to be processed and they would have to have their appeal seen within 12 weeks. Now, that's a very quick turnaround time compared to what we currently have.
Can we do that? Like, we can say we'll do that, but can we actually do it?
Absolutely. So this is not something that would happen overnight. This is legislation that we would have to have in place in 2 years. Now, that seems like a long time, but we would be completely overhauling legislation. And when we've done this before, it's taken longer. But we've more than doubled the staff that we have dealing with these issues already. And it would be a matter of continuing to invest in staff and technology to try and get to this point.
Sinn Féin's Matt Carty says it's a mistake for Ireland to fully opt into the migration pact. He says setting your immigration asylum laws is a key area of national sovereignty that should be protected. We're only one of two states that has the option of opting out of these regulations, and Sinn Féin says we should have opted out. Do you agree with him? Doesn't he have a point?
Absolutely not. Sinn Féin has no plan when it comes to migration. In fact, what Sinn Féin want us to do here is to go this alone. There is nothing in this pact that does not benefit Ireland. Quicker processing, a greater ability to send people back, greater security screening, making sure that if we become a country whereby we cannot deal with the influx of people, there's solidarity for us, access to 1.9 billion euro. What they're actually suggesting is that we would not opt in and that we would then try to have side deals with other countries, which would probably emulate what we're talking about here, which, let's be fair, we've just seen what's happened in the UK. Do they really want us to not be part of what is a European-wide collective response to one of the biggest challenges that we're all facing?
I think what he's saying is we should take the best of it, but we should actually also implement our own national policy. I have heard other politicians calling for that, saying, for example, we should follow what the Danes have done.
So there's nothing in this that doesn't benefit Ireland. And that's what I would ask Sinn Féin. I mean, they have no plan here. They're not saying what elements are negative for us. They're not saying why we shouldn't opt into these. But all of the elements I've just outlined, quicker processing, and we know that the quicker that you give somebody a positive or a negative decision, the more beneficial it is for everybody. A greater ability to return people. Can you imagine if we decided not to opt into elements that we feel might in some way negatively impact us, even though I'm telling you there's none of those elements. But we want other countries to take back people because we don't want to have to process them. All I mean, we have to work collectively here. There's no element of this that doesn't benefit us. And Sinn Féin and anybody else who's saying we should opt out, they don't actually have a plan here. They haven't presented a plan. They have no way to be able to say how they're going to deal with this challenge.
Just before you go, Minister, can I ask you about the hate speech legislation? Reading the tea leaves, talking to people privately, a lot of people around government are saying there will have to be changes to this legislation. I think most people accept there needs to be new legislation. The 1989 legislation has been overtaken by events and particularly the internet. But what people around government privately are saying, there will have to be changes to it. Do you agree?
I'm always open to changes to legislation. In fact, I think I've said it very clearly that I've been looking
at. Respect, Minister, you weren't very open to changes to this legislation. There was lots of amendments proposed and very few of them were accepted when it was going through the Oireachtas.
Well, there were very few amendments proposed when we went through the Dáil. And in fact, some parties now, including Sinn Féin, who want us to scrap it, the only amendments they put forward were to expand this legislation and to make it even wider. But we haven't gotten to the stage in the Seanad where we're putting down amendments. And I am very happy and I've said very clearly that there have been concerns raised since the Dáil and I want to address those concerns.
Specifically the concern, if we can drill down a little bit on this, Minister, I think most people's key concern is this whole definition of hate and the idea of a 5-year imprisonment term for behaviour or communication likely to incite hatred. A lot of people really worry that that's extraordinarily loose, that there's far too much scope for people who are just expressing an opinion that they could suddenly end up in prison for inciting hatred. Is that something specifically that you're going to look at?
So there's a lot of misinformation about this. And maybe just to clarify, because I think the biggest concern from people is that they are going to be criminalised for having an opinion. This legislation will not criminalise anybody. You can have an opinion. You will continue to have opinions. You will be able to express them. People may not agree with them. We will not criminalise opinions. And I cannot be clearer on that. When it comes to the definition of hate, and you've mentioned we already have, it's called incitement to hatred, but hate speech legislation since 1989. Hate is not defined in that legislation and the sky has not fallen down. There is no issue. The issue with the legislation that we have is not the definition of hate and it's not defined in any other laws across Europe where they already have this. It's actually the fact that it's not fit for the modern world. And as you've said, we live in a digital world where so much of what we do and say is online.
No, absolutely. But you say you're open to change. Where do you think the change should come? Because the word is, the word in political circles is Simon Harris wants it changed. And he will be Taoiseach in a week's time.
And I'm very clear as well that I think there are elements that we can strengthen and enhance and address the concerns that people have raised, particularly when it comes to freedom of speech. This is not legislation to prevent people from saying what they think or having views, but there's a very big difference.
The worry is it's too vague. You know, it'll be up to the courts to decide what hate is.
So in terms of the definition...
The referendum got into trouble for kind of serious kind of vagueness. One of the reasons why the referendum was defeated.
And I accept that, and I am very, very conscious of the fact that people's views on one of the proposed referendums and the changes, that it may have been defeated because of the fact that it would have been left to the courts.
Okay.
But we already have hate speech legislation. Hate is not defined. This has been in law since 1989, and this is not the issue. Gardaí are telling me that the current laws that we have are not fit for purpose.
No, I absolutely accepted that at the outset, Minister. Can I ask you a very straight question? Will the bill be changed?
There will be amendments, yes, absolutely.
And you will be making those amendments?
There will be amendments to this legislation. I will, insofar as I can, address the concerns that people have raised. But there's a lot of misinformation out there.
No, I accept that. But you're saying that, yes, change is needed and there will be change.
Amendments to it. But I've not brought forward one piece of legislation, and I've brought almost 20 now, where I haven't accepted or brought forward amendments. That's a natural part of bringing forward any legislation. You listen to concerns, you address them, and then you try and make it the best piece of law that you possibly can. This bill is no different here.
Final question. I know it's a matter for Simon Harris, but do you hope to stay as Minister for Justice?
Look, that's very much a matter for Minister Harris when he becomes Taoiseach. There's a lot of work in justice.
But you must have Would you prefer to stay?
There's a lot of work I'd like to see through, of course.
Okay. Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning. Now.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.